appreciate the blessing of being able to be here this week. And we thank you so much for allowing us to be able to be here. Thank you, ladies, and maybe some men who have prepared meals. And thank you, Miss Joy, for allowing us to stay in that comfortable home. And preacher and your family, we appreciate the fellowship with you this week. We really do. And we would ask you to pray for us as we travel through the night to Lexington, and as we'll be praying for you. I want to preach to you a message tonight, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Ezra chapter number 4, let's look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, Let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, Ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia." And let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for first loving us. Thank you for saving us. Dear God, it's been a joy, Lord, to be able to fellowship with my dear friend, Brother Davis. But Lord, it's been an even a greater joy to be fed from the Word of God. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that the Almighty still troubleth me, as Job said. And dear God, Lord, I thank you, Lord, for the good spirit of this church. I thank you, Lord, for the good work that this church is doing. And Lord, as I have stood here, Lord, Sunday morning, Lord, through this evening, and Lord, even back in the summertime, Lord, I've had good liberty as I've preached behind this pulpit each time. And Lord, I understand as a guest preacher when I have good liberty to preach behind another man's pulpit, it's because this church has a faithful man of God that feeds the flock the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Therefore, it gives this guest preacher and others liberty to preach. Now, Lord, we ask you again for that same liberty tonight. But, Lord, also we ask you, Lord, that you would speak to hearts individually. And, Lord, that you would do the work that only you can do tonight. And, Lord, I do pray, Lord, that we would take that message seriously as we've already heard. And Lord, just take a spiritual analysis of ourselves. And Lord, I ask ourselves if we had 24 hours, Lord, most of all, I would be checking up on my faith tonight. And Lord, if there is somebody lost, I pray that you'd save them by the good grace of God. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In your name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. We find here in Ezra that the enemies of Judah and Benjamin, they were people who had been relocated in the northern kingdom when Assyria conquered Israel in an attempt to infiltrate and disrupt the project of rebuilding the temple. We find that these people offered to help the Jews rebuild the temple, but what they really wanted to do, what their desire really was to keep a close eye on what the Jews were doing. They were hoping to keep Jerusalem from becoming a strong nation once again. You'll find the Jews, however, they saw through their evil ploy. In church and child of God, any time that you and I, as God's children, would partner with unbelievers, it always leads God's people to compromise their faith. Those of us that are saved, we can always expect opposition when we're doing God's work. Unbelievers and evil spiritual forces are always working against God and God's people. And you and I, as God's children, those of us that are saved, we need to move ahead with the work that God has planned for us and trust God to show us how to overcome the obstacles that come along this journey called life. We find here in the book of Ezra, the Jews had gone back to rebuild the temple. And I want you to look at a verse here in verse number 5 tonight. We find that the enemy came in. And the Bible says about that enemy in verse number 5, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose. Now, what was their purpose? Their purpose was to rebuild the temple, and the enemy came in to frustrate them from accomplishing that purpose. What's God's purpose for you and I tonight? God's purpose for you and I as God's child is to help build the church. Now, I understand God built His church, but He uses you and I as human instruments in order to accomplish that purpose in building that church. And we find that the same enemy comes in, even in today, in 2021, to frustrate us from accomplishing God's purpose in our life. We find the enemy came in to frustrate them from their purpose. Can I say tonight, I believe with all my heart, I know that as I see some gray-haired saints of God, I understand that preachers, even in your day, when you were a young boy or young girl, they said that we're living in the last days. It was true in their day, but can I say it's even true in our day as well, amen? And one preacher asked me not long ago, he said, Brother Dallas, did you read the Word of God? He said, what do you see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord? I said, preacher, I said, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. I said, but the only thing I see that needs to take place before the coming of the Lord is the sound of the trumpet, amen. I believe Jesus Christ could come back before this service is even over. But as a child of God, I'm sure it's safe to say, those of us that are saved tonight, there are a lot of things that are going on in today's society in these last days that absolutely frustrate the child of God. Can I say tonight, politics frustrate me, amen. I believe with all my heart tonight that our forefathers that formed this great nation under one almighty God, I believe they're rolling around in the grave tonight, my friend. Can I say politics frustrate me? But I'm glad tonight that my hope is not in the White House, but thank God my hope tonight is in God's house where I heard the gospel message and now I'm saved by the grace of God. Can I say religion frustrates me? I'm glad that night over 20 years ago when I got saved by the good grace of God. I'm glad that they didn't shove a religion down my throat, but I'm glad they told me about a Savior. One preacher said, religion is man reaching up to God, but salvation is God reaching down to man. Religion frustrates me. Can I say people falling out on God, that frustrates me. Those that abandon the King James Bible and compromise their Baptist heritage and throw away standards, all those things frustrate me. I'm sure there's a lot of things. If you want to live right, if you want to live clean, if you want to live holy, there's a lot of things that absolutely frustrate us in today's society. Let me look at Ezra, or let us all look at Ezra chapter 1, verse number 3. Let me show us from the Word of God what the children of Israel, or the Jews there, what their purpose was, what God's marching orders were for the Jews here. Look at Ezra chapter 1 and look at verse number 3. The Bible says, who is there among you of all His people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. We find that God's marching orders for them was to rebuild the temple. We find in Ezra chapter number 4 and verse number 5 that the enemy came in to frustrate them from rebuilding the temple. Can I say God's purpose for you and I is to build the house of God, and the same enemy, old Slewfoot Satan himself, is coming in and creeping into the house of God to frustrate God's people from accomplishing God's purpose for our life. As I was reading these verses, we go back to Ezra chapter number 4. As I was reading these verses, some time ago now, it came to me that the devil does not have to kill God's children to keep us from fulfilling our purpose. You know what the devil has to do? All he has to do is frustrate us. Here's frustration in a nutshell. When expectation is up here, and reality is down here, and when our expectation and reality do not meet up, every single one of us get frustrated. In the 1828 Webster Dictionary, it describes frustrate as to break or to interrupt, to disappoint, to make ineffective. And I believe to disappoint is the best description for this particular application. Let me put it another way tonight. Frustration is the difference between expectation and experience. Frustration is the difference between the way we expect to live and the way life actually turns out. It's the difference the way we expect to serve the Lord and our actual service to the Lord. Many pastors, as I spend time with across the country on a weekly basis, sometimes they get frustrated because it's the difference the way they expect the church to grow and the way the church actually does grow. It's the difference of things the missionary expects to see on the mission field and what he actually experiences on the mission field. Can I put it on all of our levels tonight? It's the difference of what sometimes we expect the doctor to say and what the doctor actually does say to somebody tonight. Maybe it's the difference of the way you expect the finances to turn out and the way the finances actually do turn out. Maybe to some brokenhearted mama or daddy or grandma or grandpa tonight, it's the difference of the way you expect your child or your grandchild to turn out and the way they actually do turn out. And my friend, when expectation and reality do not meet up, every single one of us get frustrated in life. And I believe with all my heart that frustration is the great tool of the devil and his great weapon against the church. And he wants to stop the building of the house of God. And sometimes he does it by filling our pews with frustrated people. That's why at times Sunday school teachers quit. That's why at times bus workers quit. I'm not justifying it, but that's why sometimes they quit. That's why some make a sudden decision to leave the church. Can we be reminded? Everybody that's ever been a member of Maranatha Baptist Church in Gates, Tennessee, and now they're no longer a member of this church. They're not all evil people, my friend. Can I tell you, maybe some of them just got frustrated. As I've traveled the country these last 14 years in evangelism, I noticed three different types of frustrated people that sit in churches all across this country. First of all, there are those that are frustrated with themselves. They expected that when they got saved, they would serve the Lord in a greater way than what they actually did serve the Lord, and they got frustrated because they didn't serve God the way they thought they should. Some expected that they would never fail the Lord, turn their back on their promises, or disappoint God, but they found themselves in the depths of frustration because they did exactly what they set out not to do. Number two, there are those that sometimes get frustrated in their relationships. They expected the person they married to be the perfect mate, but they found out that there were some flaws. Bliss turned into hard work. Delight turned into demands. Perfection turned into problems. They expected that when they got married, there would never be a crossword. But those words came so quickly and so unexpected. They expected there would never be any disagreements in their marriage. But now, there's been so many disagreements at times where they think that sometimes it can't even be resolved. Can I say that's a lie of the devil? That's a lie of the enemy. Not only are there those that are frustrated with themselves, there are those that are frustrated with their relationships, but number three, at times there's those that are frustrated with their church. Can I say tonight they expectation was up here and reality set in down here and they got frustrated. They expected the church they joined to be perfect, the members to be perfect, and the preacher to be perfect. Can I maybe bust somebody's bubble tonight? Can I say that type of church doesn't exist? You know why Maranatha Baptist Church is not a perfect church, my friend? Because he's not a perfect preacher and you're not a perfect person. But I tell you what, even though this church is not a perfect perfect church. It's far better than a church that has brought in the rock and roll bands and has compromised on this King James Bible and still has a heart for lost sinners. My friend, it may not be a perfect church, but thank God it is a lighthouse in this community that you live in. Amen. I want us to look tonight. I want to just lay a foundation. I'm going to get into some quick preaching here in just a minute. I want to look at Ezra chapter 4 and look at verse number 24. Now, I just want to make sure I'm not on a lonely island by myself. I'm not the only Christian in this room tonight that's ever been frustrated in the Christian life. Is there anybody else ever been frustrated? Raise your hand good and high, amen, so I can see. All right, everybody's been frustrated, amen. Look at Ezra chapter 4, look at verse number 24, when we allow frustration to take over. Look at verse number 24. The Bible says, then cease the work of the house of God, which is at Jerusalem. So it ceased until the second year of the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Did you see that tonight, church? The work in the building, the rebuilding of the temple, it ceased. It stopped. You know what the devil wants tonight? You know what he wants tonight? He wants boards over those windows tonight. He wants Maranatha Baptist Church shut down. But child of God, can I tell you, yes, you and I are going to have expectation up here, and reality is going to set in down here, and we're going to get frustrated. But even though we get frustrated in the Christian life, it's not time to throw in the towel. It's not time to quit. It's not time to recant. It's time to put our pegs down and say, I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to serve God. I'm still going forward for God, even though I'm frustrated, amen. I want to give us a few truths tonight from the book of Ezra on what to do when we go through frustration. You say, Brother Dallas, you're going to preach a truth tonight to show me how I'll never have frustration again? Absolutely not. My friend, I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. But can I tell us, as Brother Davis told us a while ago, that before the sun comes up in the morning, every single one of us could get a phone call that absolutely turns our world upside down. And my friend, it's not the question tonight is not will we go through frustrating times, not will we go through hard times. The question is, what do we do when we do go through those frustrating times? I want you to look at Ezra chapter 5. Look at verse number 1. We find in verse number chapter 4, verse number 24, we find the work of the house of God ceased. But look at chapter 5, verse number 1, what they continue to do, what they started to do again. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, then the prophets, Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo, prophesied unto the Jews that were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel, even unto them. Can I say, number one, when you get frustrated, when I get frustrated, number one, frustration can be eliminated by the preaching of the Word of God. It can be eliminated by the preaching of the Word of God. Can I ask you something? Have you ever gone to the house of God and you had the heavy burden upon you, and maybe you were going through a difficult time, maybe you were going through some hard situations, maybe you were going through some storms of life, but you came to the house of God anyhow, and you sat there, and the man of God got up, and he preached the Word of God, and just so happened, my friend, that it helped you get through that storm, or that circumstance, or that hard time. And I guarantee you, if every one of us were honest, if we still came to the place of the house of God, and heard the preaching of the Word of God, the burden that was on us before we got there was not nearly as heavy as it was when we left the house of God. Child of God, when we have frustration in life, it's not time to stay home. It's not time to sit out of church. It's time to come to our place at the house of God, because that same Bible right there that had power to bring conviction upon our heart and save us by the grace of God is the same Bible that has power to get us through the frustrating times of life. Anytime we feel frustration, we need to realize that we need as much preaching as we can get. That's why we ought to read sermons. That's why we ought to listen to sermons. That's why we need to be in church every time that we should be in church. I'm talking about real Bible preaching. I'm talking about the type of preaching that you get behind this pulpit Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. My friend, I'm not against that the pastor counsels or anything like that, but man, people want to counsel about everything. They want to counsel about their addiction problems. They want to counsel about their gambling and their drug addiction and their liquor and all those things. I like what my preacher used to say. He said, the greatest counseling service that you'll ever go to is on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when the preacher gets up and preaches the Word of God. That's the greatest counseling service that any of us will ever go to, my friend. But it's a sad day that the frustrated is the ones that need the preaching the most. But sometimes it's the frustrated that will stop coming to church and resist anything the Lord tries to do during the preaching. Sometimes the frustrated, they get critical. They get judgmental. They get resentful. And they're trying to justify the difference in what they expected and what they experienced. And that frustration will always be there. That's why we need revivals. That's why we need special meetings. It's amazing to me that some think nothing of missing a church service, and then they wonder why they experience frustration. I'll tell you why you experience frustration, child of God, because it's God's purpose for you and for me to help build the house of God. And one way you and I help build the house of God is to be at our place when we should be, when there's preaching going on. Amen. Child of God, can I say you're always, I'm always, 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 and you're always, always, always making a mistake when we miss or refuse to receive the preaching of the Word of God. How many of you are saved by the grace of God? Let's do it North Carolina, Southern style, and raise both hands. Amen. You're saved by the good grace of God. Amen. Did you ever do that, Miss Smart, back in North? You never raised. Okay. All right. Well, anyhow, she's a North Carolina lady. Amen. You're saved by the grace of God. And the very moment that you call on the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive Him in your heart by faith to save you, the Holy Spirit of God come to live inside of you. There wasn't a waiting period. There wasn't a proving time. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you're saved by the grace of God. And child of God, can I say the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in you lives in that man right there. You may never even tell your spouse. You may never tell your dearest friend. Matter of fact, you may never even tell the preacher the frustrating times that you're going through. But you understand the same Holy Spirit of God that lives in you lives in that preacher. And as he's in his study throughout the week and he's on his face before God and praying and asking and begging for the message to preach to his people. And as he studies the Bible, the Holy Spirit begins to lay the truth on his heart that just so happens to be able to help you get through the frustrating times you're going through. But child of God, the message cannot help you if you're not there to hear the message. Amen. Don't sit out of church. Go to the house of God, even though when we're frustrated. Amen. Preaching will help eliminate frustration. Number two, very quickly, look at Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5. Ezra chapter 5, look at verse number 2. The Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel. Now, please forgive me. I forgot to listen to Alexander Scorby read the Bible today, so I may mispronounce some of these words. Amen. The Bible says, then rose up Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Jeshua, the son of Jozadak, and began to build the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And with them were the prophets of God helping them. Can I say, number one, you want me to tell you what will help eliminate frustration? Number one, preaching will help eliminate frustration. But number two, what will help frustration is participation around the house of God will help eliminate frustration. Child of God, you understand God's purpose for you, His purpose for me, is to help build the house of God. But that's how do I help build the house of God? I'll tell you how we've helped build. We tell somebody about Jesus and passing out tracts, as Brother David said a little while ago. Maybe run a van route. Maybe banking the floor. Maybe cook a meal like the dear ladies did all the week long for a guest preacher. Can I say, I don't know what your job may be. I don't know what your responsibility could be around the house of God. But somebody's got to vacuum the floors. Somebody's got to clean the windows. Somebody's got to cut the grass. Somebody's got to stand up and say, I'll be that TV that Brother Davis talked about last night. Participation around the house of God. Dropping out of any service to God, that's never the answer. Can I say, child of God, we don't need a break from participating in the building of the house of God. That's God's purpose for our life. Sure, the devil will fight. And sure, we will become weary, but we must not stop participating. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 1, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9 says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Child of God, I cannot tell you how to prevent frustration. I'm just telling you how to eliminate it once it comes. Stay faithful. Don't quit. Maybe something that you've been saved by the grace of God, but my friend, you never just stepped in and said, I'll serve around the house of God. Can I say you'll never be happy, child of God, until first of all you fulfill God's purpose for our life. And that purpose is to help build the house of God. I've seen so many bow out of their participations and they end up falling out of church altogether. Many times they had good sounding reasons. And they may have convinced me, but they did not get rid of their frustrations. Many times their frustrations got worse. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 138 with me tonight. Psalm 138. Look at verse number 7 with me. Look what David said. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Now, I won't go in detail of the whole psalm there, but you'll find that the enemy is encamped all around David. And church, let me ask you this tonight. If I'm standing right here in this auditorium, where am I at in the auditorium? I'm in the midst. Or like we used to say down in Mississippi, down the road where I used to live, I'm right smack dab in the middle of the church. Notice what David said. He said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, I've just got trouble in front of me. He didn't say, I've just got trouble behind me, to the right, to the left, above, below. David said, I've got trouble all the way around me. I've got it in front, behind, right, left, above, below. He said, I am in the midst of trouble. There may be some here tonight. And can I say, as Brother David said, I know that we're preaching to the choir, but I like what another preacher said. The choir needs preaching every now and then, amen. Can I say tonight, there may be somebody here tonight, you've got financial trouble. Maybe tonight somebody heard the bad news from a doctor. Maybe tonight somebody's got trouble with a wayward son or daughter, and you feel like you're in the midst of trouble, and you feel like you can't have any more trouble come in your life, or you're just going to die. Look what David said. David said, though I walk in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I sit down in the midst of trouble. David didn't say, though I lie down in the midst of trouble. David said, you know what? I've got trouble all the way around me. But I tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to sit down. I'm not going to lie down. I'm just going to keep on putting one foot in front of the other, and I'm just going to keep on going forward. And can I say tonight, child of God, can I encourage somebody tonight? Hey, don't quit. I know you may have trouble in your life, but don't sit down. Don't lie down. Keep on walking to that choir loft. Keep on walking to that Sunday school class. Hey, keep on walking to the kitchen to make the meal, or working in the nursery. My friend, God's purpose for you is for us to help build the house of God. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Don't recant. Just say, I'm going to stay in the work of God, because that's God's purpose for my life. Look what David goes on to say. There's more truth to that verse. David said, though I walk, if I'll just keep on putting one foot in front of the other, though I walk in the midst of trouble, look what he goes on to say, thou wilt revive me. I don't know much about that Bible, but one thing I do know that God always blesses faithfulness and obedience to His Word. And my friend, if we'll just keep on going forward, even though we've got trouble in life, in return, thou wilt revive me. there may be someone here tonight under the sound of my voice, maybe a few someone that has buried a loved one in recent days. Can I say, I know that that's not only sometimes, it's not even frustrating, sometimes it's just hard to deal with. But I guarantee you, you know what that got that man through? He just obeyed the commands of God, and sometimes it may have just looked like black words on white paper, but he just kept on reading the Word of God, and just kept on praying, and kept on going to church, and kept on loving those teenagers, and kept on fulfilling his purpose around the house of God. And I guarantee you tonight, they were hard days, and there's still some hard days, but I guarantee you tonight, there's nobody that I know that I hang out with that has more revival down deep inside his soul than that man right there. And can I tell you, child of God, if we'll just stay faithful, in return, God will revive us. Number three, very quickly. Not only will preaching, not only will participation, look at Ezra chapter 3. Look at Ezra chapter number 3. Ezra chapter number 3. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and when the builders lay the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set the priests in their apparel with trumpets. And the Levites, the son of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. And they sang together by course in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. Because he is good, for his mercy endureth forever toward Israel. And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. Can I say number three, not only can frustration be eliminated by preaching, not only can it be eliminated by participation, but number three, frustration can be eliminated by finding out what it is to just praise the Lord. You understand, this crowd here, they were fulfilling God's purpose. They saw the foundation of the temple was finished, and they realized that they accomplished God's purpose. And child of God, can I tell you, things may not have gone the way they wanted to go all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. They may not like what everybody else was doing all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. Things may not have been what they expected all the time, but their purpose was being accomplished. And child of God, that's saved by the grace of God, that will escape the fires of hell one day. Can I tell you, my friend, your worst day and my worst day as a Christian is 10,000 times better than the one that's lost and on their way to hell tonight, my friend. And child of God, can I say tonight, amen, in church will go a long way sometimes in eliminating frustration. A smile and a hearty handshake at the house of God will help eliminate frustration. Opening up that songbook and singing with all your heart will help eliminate frustration. I don't know if you know this or not, my friend, but weeping with joy or getting happy in church, it's not going to kill you, my friend. It just may help eliminate the frustration in life. Amen. Child of God, can I ask us tonight, when's the last time we came down to an old-fashioned altar? Or when's the last time we met with God in our own private prayer closet? We just came to God and said, God, I didn't come to ask you for anything. Although I've got needs, I didn't come to ask you for anything. I've just come to praise your name a little bit. I've come to love on you a little bit, Lord, because you've loved me. And Lord, I want to thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit of God living inside of me. Lord, I want to thank you for your grace. I want to thank you for your mercy. I want to thank you for your justification, and just as if I've never sinned. Lord, I want to thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I want to thank you for my church house. Lord, I want to thank you for my preacher. Lord, I want to thank you for saving my family. Lord, I want to thank you. I want to thank you just for the goodness that you bestowed upon me in my life. Can I tell you, my friend, if we'll think about it good and hard, I guarantee you it won't even take us to think about it good and hard. If we just think for a second, we can say that God's been mighty. God hadn't just been good to us. God has flat spoiled us rotten, hadn't he? God's been mighty good to us. And lastly, look at Ezra chapter 6. Look at verse number 14. Ezra chapter 6 and verse number 14. The Bible says, and the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered. Through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built it and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Can I say, not only can preaching help eliminate frustration, and participation can help eliminate frustration, and praising can help eliminate frustration, but prospering can help eliminate frustration. Now, I'm not talking about more money in the bank, more square feet in the house, a nicer car. I'm not talking about that type of prospering. Not against those things, but those things are just those things. But every soul that we win to Christ will help eliminate frustration. Every victory that God wins in our life will help eliminate frustration. You say, Brother Dallas, I've got so many troubles in my life, I don't see much victory. Can I say, for some of us to be at the house of God on a Tuesday night instead of where we used to be at on a Tuesday night, that is victory in Jesus, my friend. Can I say, every person that we encourage in the Lord will help eliminate frustration. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee you tonight, brothers and sisters in Christ, on the sound of my voice, you know somebody right here at church with us tonight that's going through a difficult time, that's going through a hardship, that's going through a storm of life. You know, it would do you and them some good tonight. Maybe you just go put your arm around them and let them know I love you and I'm praying with you and I want to help you get through these difficult times. You say, well, Brother Dallas, they know I love them. They know I'm here to help them. Well, every now and then it just helps to hear those words, doesn't it? Every reward from God will help eliminate frustration. Every day in the faithful service of the Lord will help eliminate frustration. The pianist can go ahead and make her way to the piano tonight. Let me give this real quick last illustration. The biggest struggle for me after the Lord saved me was not to quit hanging out with that crowd that I hung out with before I got saved. I'd burned all those bridges. The biggest struggle for me was not to continue to go to the same places I used to go and have the same activities. Those weren't the biggest struggles for me. The biggest struggle for me was I wanted 100% trust back with my mom and daddy, and I wanted it overnight. But you understand that trust was not destroyed overnight, and that trust did not come back overnight. Matter of fact, it didn't come back after a few months, and if I were to really look at it, it probably didn't come back after a couple of years. But I guarantee you tonight, since 1998 to this day right here, just putting my foot in front of another, just putting my eyes on the Lord and making my mind up like the old songwriter wrote, the world is behind me, the cross is before me, and I've decided to follow Jesus. I would say tonight that trust is back there. Other than my wife and the Lord, my mom and daddy are my dearest friends, my best friends on the face of the earth. And I understand your situations and my situations may be totally different, but my friend, the action is the same. We can't go backwards. We can't stand still. We just got to keep our eyes on the Lord. God is a God of going forward, not backwards. Just continue to be in the preaching, be at preaching, continue to participate, continue to praise, and continue to prosper in the things of God. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed all across the building. I'm not going to get you to raise your hand tonight and admit anything to me. It's between you and God. But tonight, here's the invitation. Here's the invitation. Either there's some here tonight that you have gone through frustrating times in the past and you haven't always handled them in the right manner, I'm going to encourage you tonight to just make a commitment to the Lord the next time frustrating times come, that you'll stick to this principle right here from the book of Ezra and just keep on going to preaching, keep on participating, keep on fulfilling your purpose and prospering for God. Maybe there's some here tonight that everything's clicking along okay for you. You don't have any frustrating times right now. I mean, the bills are paid. The kids are behaving. The car's running fine. Pretty much everything's just clicking along okay. Child of God, can I say it not again, not trying to be the bearer of bad news, but frustrating times will come. Maybe tonight there's somebody here tonight, everything's going fine, but you know of a brother and sister in Christ that's going through difficult times tonight. Maybe just do you and them some good tonight just to let them know, I love you. We're in the family of God together, and I want to help you get through these frustrating times. As we stand all across the building tonight, as the pianist begins to play, somewhere between your pew and this altar tonight, why don't we just step out tonight as the pianist begins to play? All across the building, why don't we do business with the Lord? Why don't we make that commitment to the Lord tonight? Why don't we spend some time with the Lord tonight? Would you come, child of God? Would you come? If you had 24 hours, you knew you had 24 hours, would you be able to honestly before God say, I know I'm going to heaven because of my faith, not my faith in the church, not my faith in my works, not my faith in the baptismal pool, but my faith in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the finished work on the cross of Calvary. How's your relationship with your family? Do you need to let go of some foolishness tonight? When was the last time you told somebody about the Father? I wonder across the building who would say, Brother Dallas, as the guest preacher, would you please pray for me? Brother Dallas, I saw the importance, I know the importance of being in church. I love my church family. This is where I get fed spiritually from the Word of God. But Brother Dallas, when I leave this place here in a little while, and I go home, I'm facing some real trouble. I've got some actual struggles in my life. Brother Dallas, I've got difficulties. And Brother Dallas, I sure would appreciate it if you would pray for me. That I would just trust my Lord through these difficult times I'm going through. If that's your testimony tonight, I wonder if you just slip up your hand. Brother Dallas, would you please pray for me? I see that hand. I see that hand. God sees those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I see those hands. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we sure do love you. And Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that even though expectation is in one spot and reality is in another, and sometimes we as flesh, we get frustrated. But I'm glad the Bible tells us, the psalmist told us, that our expectation is in the Lord. And Lord, I ask you tonight that you would allow us to keep our eyes on you and realize sometimes that when we go through frustration, I understand that, Lord, many times it's not because of our own making it. Lord, it's because of your making to make us stronger to be able to help somebody else down the road when they face the same difficulties and the same frustrations. And so, dear God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless these dear folks that raised their hand tonight. They're here, and Lord, they're present. And dear God, they've been fed from the Word of God, Lord, tonight. And Lord, but they are leaving here in just a little while, and Lord, the difficulties will be there. But Lord, I pray, Lord, that we'd find out what it is to trust you through those difficulties instead of trusting in our own energy and our own effort to get through those frustrations. Because when we do that, they just turn out even worse, dear God. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we would just keep our eyes on you. And, Lord, trust the same God that saved our eternal soul from a place called hell to get us through these storms of life. Lord, thank you for this good church. Thank you for them hosting and, Lord, just, Lord, being extra kind to Brother Davis and I. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that the next, Lord, the days ahead will be the greatest days for Maranatha Baptist Church. Souls will be saved, lives will be changed, and the gospel message will not only affect this community, but, Lord, would go around the world because of the efforts of this church right here in Gates, Tennessee. Lord, bless this dear preacher and his family. And, Lord, I know that they want to live their lives to bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In your name I pray. Amen.